You're listening live to Right Side Radio with Phil Williams. It's hard to go wrong when you're on the right side. Right Side Radio, solid, conservative, and just plain right.
News Talk 770 AM, 92.5 FM, WVNN. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Like the dude just said, we are indeed solid, conservative, and just plain right. Hey, listen, we're going to the phones right now. A friend of mine calling in, he's been on the show with us before, State Representative, or former State Senator, I'm sorry, Brian Taylor, served with me in the Alabama State Senate. Before that, he had been a senior advisor to then-Governor Riley, and after leaving the State Senate, he went on to be chief legal counsel for Governor Ivey, now back in practice. And Brian, he's dealt with the legal aspects of, and he's good at knowing the research on, issues related to defamation, libel, slander. And I thought, you know what, with everything going on, with his work in the public arena, with the stuff going on right now with politicians saying things about a private sector guy, Kyle Rittenhouse, I'm going to get Brian on here to talk. So, hey, Brian Taylor, how you doing, man?
I'm doing well, Senator. How are you?
I'm good, brother. I'm good. Thank you for being on again today. I just got to thinking, you and I have talked in recent history about some of the legal research related to defamation and all that. And I thought, you know what? Everything's swirling around this stuff with Kyle Rittenhouse out of the Rittenhouse trial. And by the way, Brian, did you see the comments by Alabama State Representative Wandalyn Gavan? Have you seen that one?
I saw a tweet from her shortly after the trial. Is that what we're talking about?
Well, I think twit was applicable to the first part, but yeah. So State Representative Wandalyn Gavan from Jefferson County, I believe she is, she tweeted out, "It's a sad damn day in America that a jury of 12 would say that it's perfectly okay that Kyle Rittenhouse, a white punk boy, can kill two innocent people and paralyze one. White supremacy is America." That's one of your state representatives, Alabama. I mean, first of all, who's the paralyzed one? And no, white supremacy had nothing to do with this trial. But Brian, that's the deal, man. Talk to us about defamation. I'm a lawyer, but you've studied this more recently. Talk to us about the standards for proving a case for defamation, first of all, and then let's talk about public figures.
Yeah, sure. You know, it's wild, all of the response in this trial and in the aftermath of this trial, now focusing on those who have misconstrued the facts from the beginning and apparently still don't know the facts about the case.
No.
So it's going to be really interesting to see. You know, there's been talk out there, Phil, whether Rittenhouse may actually pursue defamation lawsuit against those who have said some of these outlandish things. Of course, we saw this happen in the case of the young man who CNN portrayed as the aggressor against a Native American on the mall in D.C.
Oh yeah, Nick Sandman.
He ended up suing CNN and it never went to trial, but he got $250,000 verdict out of it. So
yep.
You would think the media had won their lesson, but apparently they haven't. So generally, to answer your question, the way defamation law works nowadays is when a person is defamed, meaning that there is a false statement that is published or spoken about you and that it hurts your reputation, you have a right to sue the person who published or spoke that statement in court. And if you're a private citizen, all you have to do is prove that the person published that statement with negligently looking at the facts of the situation, the facts of the case, and that they were wrong. And so because Rittenhouse is a private citizen, a private person, he might very well have a defamation case against President Biden, against members of the media across the board who have been more than outrageous in their characterizations of him as a white supremacist. There was no evidence whatsoever in the trial that he was a white supremacist or that he was part of any group that was there for a racist reason at all.
Well, so let me ask you about that because, all right, so Rittenhouse is a private citizen, and you're right, the threshold, in my recollection of the law, is a threshold for a private citizen to file suit on a defamation claim is easier to reach than it is for a public figure. Like if you and I were in office and someone defamed us in some way, we would have to prove that basically there was actual malice involved. Am I right in saying it that way? Did I word it correctly?
That's right. And that's a story. How we got there is a story that every Alabamian should know because that was a major Supreme Court case that reached that conclusion a major Supreme Court case on the First Amendment called New York Times v. Sullivan.
Right.
And it grew out of the civil rights era. Sullivan was a city commissioner of the city of Montgomery, basically like a city councilman. And the New York Times had published an editorial or some kind of editorial advertisement that was very hard on the police, and perhaps rightly so. I don't know too much about the actual facts. But in any event, there were some errors in the publication. And state law at the time provided that all Commissioner Sullivan had to do was show that there were errors that harmed his reputation. And so he sued the New York Times for those errors, and he won in Alabama State Court. He won half a million dollars in damages in that case. And it went up to the U.S. Supreme Court, and the U.S. Supreme Court introduced basically a new rule. And they said, wait, if you're a public official, you have to prove something more than there was just an error. You have to prove more than negligence in publishing a story. You have to show actual malice, which the court defined as either something false was printed knowing that it was false or with reckless disregard for the truth.
Right.
And so when it comes to public officials now, they have a higher standard to show that the media knew something was false when they published it or they were extraordinarily reckless when they published it. Since Rittenhouse is not a public official, then the private citizen standard of mere negligence applies, and all he has to show is that these media outlets and perhaps President Biden were careless or negligent in making these false claims that he was a white supremacist.
Okay, so let me ask you this.
There has been some interesting case law that has developed since New York Times v. Sullivan.
Okay.
That actually does raise the question whether certain private citizens become public figures and are held to the higher standard because they've been thrust into a discussion of public importance. One could certainly argue in any case that Rittenhouse brings, I think the defense certainly will argue that the higher standard of actual malice should be applied because of the extraordinary public interest in his case. But there's another Supreme Court case from the mid-1970s called Gertz v. Robert Welch. And in that case, the court said, look, where the private citizen is not voluntarily thrusting himself into a public debate, he doesn't become a public figure.
And that's the thing, Brian. So, I mean, Rittenhouse is a kid who was put on trial. He did not ask to be there. And the charges that were brought when he was acquitted indicate that he never should have been there in the first place, potentially. So I would think that clearly the Gertz ruling would indicate that he is not a public figure in the eyes of the law. But let me ask you this, though.
Yep.
Let me switch gears on you. So we know, and you laid the foundation pretty well for this conversation, but we've got a unique situation. Right now we have a private figure being defamed by a public figure, and that would be then presidential candidate Joe Biden. So he was not the president, and he was not a senator at the time, but he was definitely a public figure who was using the weight of his, you know, his mantle of authority, so to speak, to classify in one of his ads that Kyle Rittenhouse was a white supremacist, and he's now president of the United States. Do you find any additional weight in the law? I mean, maybe at the very least in equity, but in the law itself, do you find any additional argument that if someone is maligned by a public figure and they are a private citizen, that there's additional penalties or a different threshold to reach?
Well, absolutely. There have been court cases, both at the Supreme Court and in a number of lower circuit courts, where the courts have analyzed that very issue. And they say, look, public figures have the ability, public officials and public figures have a platform. They have the ability, and they say they justify the actual malice standard on that ground, that, look, if you are thrusting yourself into the public eye, you have a platform from which you can defend yourself from false claims. And you can use the First Amendment. But when it comes to private citizens, the courts have said, private figures don't have that same platform that the media does, that public figures do to fire back or to answer back false claims. And so, you know, I think it could be really interesting to see if he does bring these claims, certainly against the president, you might see it go up to the Supreme Court again, and you might have further development of that law.
Well, all right, listen, Brian, that's a perfect place to stop. We're going up against a hard break right now. When we get back from this break, I want to keep that line of discussion going, and hear what you think the legal options are right now for a Kyle Rittenhouse as a private citizen. All right, can you hang on during the break, bud? All right. Okay, great. All right, Brian Taylor with us, senior advisor to Governor Riley, chief legal advisor to Governor Ivey, served with me in the state Senate. He knows the law. We'll be right back talking about defamation in the Rittenhouse trial. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative, just plain right. We'll be right back. News Talk 770 AM, 92.5 FM, WVNN, Right Side Radio, solid conservative and just plain right. And you can also listen to us, by the way, live online. Just go to rightsideradio.org. That's rightsideradio.org. Click on Listen Live, and no matter where you is, there we is. And that's where you can also download podcasted segments of every show. By the next day, we post up the previous day's shows, and we are, you know, pushing, I think we're pushing 13,500 downloads, something like that right now. So that's crazy cool. But thank you for being a part of this audience. It's an honor to have this platform. Going back to the phones right now with my friend Brian Taylor. Brian's got an incredible legal background, even to the extent of being the chief legal counsel for Governor Kay Ivey. But he is not there now. He's back in private practice. And we're talking about the possibilities of a defamation lawsuit. So the kid Rittenhouse, who was acquitted last week, I'm looking at an article right now on Fox News, Brian, and this particular article is actually an interview with the attorney, a guy named Todd McMurtry, who was the attorney for Nicholas Salmon, the kid who reached a settlement with CNN and his defamation lawsuit. Salmon and his attorney, Todd McMurtry, both believe that Kyle Rittenhouse has a great case. And McMurtry points out, the attorney points out, that with regards to Joe Biden himself, President Biden, he was not president at the time of the tweet, meaning he wouldn't have any ability to claim some type of presidential or congressional immunity. Not that I'm sure he could anyway, but nonetheless, moving forward, what do you see happening next?
You remember who Joe Biden has to thank for that, right? That comes from the Clinton v. Jones case. Bill Clinton tried to block the Jones lawsuit, and the Supreme Court said, no, you don't get presidential immunity for unofficial conduct, and we saw how that went.
That's a great point. Well, goes around, comes around, right? So next thing in the steps here for civil suits for Kyle Rittenhouse, I mean, I don't know that he's going to face any more criminal challenges. And so I think he's got the potential for moving forward on a libel suit. Now, I've got a list right here, and I won't go through it right now, but I've got a list right here of just the overwhelming number of big names in both liberal politics and liberal media who are still to this day after the acquittal still defaming him and claiming things about him that aren't true. So I think once they know the verdict, then the potential for that negligence we talked about ramps up even higher, wouldn't you think?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, and I think McMurtry made a really great point in that article. He says, you know, it's not clear that Rittenhouse could win one of these suits, but it's certainly actionable. And that's exactly what Salmon did. He didn't even have to go to trial because the facts were so egregious. And CNN was so wrong in that case that CNN was willing to settle it for $250,000. So, you know, you look at Kyle Rittenhouse's case. Now he's been completely exonerated by a jury, unanimous jury of his peers. He's going to have a lot of leverage if he merely brings a lawsuit against certain media outlets, the president. And you know, it's not just about being called a white supremacist. You know, I can see maybe somebody making the argument, well, that's not a fact, that's an opinion. I don't know if that would fly, but there have been more egregious claims than that. You know, that on The View, they accused him of illegally crossing state lines with this weapon he was using. There's nothing illegal about that. They just made that up with intent to kill, they say. What they had heard from some other source. And you can't repeat allegations that somebody committed a crime. That's called defamation per se, and that will get you in big, big trouble.
Well, I totally agree. And some of those claims, they even claim that he crossed state lines, like that's a crime by itself, but crossed state lines with the intent to hunt people down and kill. And it's amazing to me the egregious things that are being completely fabricated out of thin air on this kid who has now been fully acquitted by a jury of his peers. And, you know, I look at it too, and I think, you know, what about the discovery phase of this? Can you imagine if this suit is ongoing during the next presidential cycle and Biden decides he wants to run for office and they got to do discovery and they're requesting his deposition, the deposition of the president of the United States in a civil suit? Can you imagine? I mean, that's news right there.
Oh, it would be really messy. It would be expensive. It would be long and drawn out. I really think you're going to see settlements coming out of this to avoid long discovery, costly discovery and trial. And like you said, the political repercussions for Biden could be significant. So, I think Rittenhouse has a great claim. I agree with McMurtry. I think he will consider filing. He will file, and he'll probably be quick to receive some substantial settlements. Of course, that's not going to change his life. He's going to continue to be blackballed by a large segment of society who believes he's guilty and he's a white supremacist, and his reputation is forever tarnished by those claims. But at least there'll be some sense of justice for him.
Well, and I agree with that. And I heard one of his family members on an interview the other day talking about how excited he was to go to college, and they began naming the college he was going to, which I know has to be very interesting when there's kids on that college campus who are probably activists in their mentality who are just waiting for the day that he arrives on campus. And that's tough. And that kid's now going to have to be branded like that by people. And that's yep. Part of the issue regarding defamation is it doesn't just hurt the person at the time and you're suing for damages related to the moment when the words were said. It's because of the damage to the reputation. And where do you go to get your good name back? That's the thing. That's the real thing.
That's a great point. And in this case, he has been labeled. And it doesn't matter what a court of law ultimately says. People are going to have their opinions about his reputation from here till the day he dies. And so he's stuck with it. That argues in favor of a hefty settlement or a very serious defamation case.
I agree. Brian Taylor, spot on as always, man. Appreciate you being on with us today, and we'll have you back again soon. So thank you very much.
Look forward to it. Thanks, Phil.
All right. Hey, folks, that's Brian Taylor, my friend. I served with him in the state Senate. We sat on the same row together, working on bills together, did a lot of good things in the state Senate. We feel like together. He served with Governor Riley's administration and Governor Ivey's administration after his time in the state Senate, and glad to have him around for the show. All right, folks, I'm going to go into a little more on that. You'll be shocked at some of the things people are saying. Shocked. Then again, maybe you won't. I'll tell you about that when we get back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid, conservative. Yep, just plain right. We'll be right back.